Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Hi, welcome to the Worcester Naz podcast. I'm Pastor Delaney, and I'm here with Pastor Andrew. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Good. I'm happy to do this. I'm glad you're hosting.
I know. It's my first time.
Yeah, it's great. Well, you've been on the podcast, but it's your first time hosting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I'm glad. And I get to interview you, of all people. Yeah, I'm very excited.
We scraped the bottom of the barrel.
So this past week, you had your sermon about Hallowed Be Thy Name. So tell us a little bit more about what that means to you.
Yeah, I was thinking in preparing for the message, like really that song that we landed on, like I stand in awe. And I'd read a couple books over the last few years about like being in awe of God. And then this book that we've been reading through as the DLT, preaching some stuff out of there, of just like, Hallowed Be Thy Name is something that, and I would say the Lord's Prayer in general can be something that we just like pray, and it just becomes like this repetitive thing. And so over the last few years, even before you've been here on our team, like Pastor Nathan has made an emphasis at a few different times of let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, but let's really pray it. But I think so often it can just be like another thing that we're saying. Mm-hmm. And so really digging into like, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name, just that sense of awe and wonder of who God is. Like, I think we can lose that just in like this flippant thing that I was mentioning too in my intro on Sunday of like, it just becomes part of like, this is how we pray and this is what we do. And it's just like another thing. And we don't stop and give it its proper place and proper time and of who he really is. And I try to pray this way sometimes on a Sunday morning during service, and Pastor Joel does too. He does this, like we say, like, I'm not saying other pastors don't, but like I remember times where Pastor Joel's done this intentionally of like, God, we just thank you for who you are. Like, we don't thank you for anything that you've done. We're just in awe of who you are. So like a lot of those thoughts are wrapped up into that, hallowed be thy name. Like, this is a really significant thing. And digging down deeper into that this week through the message was really good for me, like a really good reminder for me.
Yeah, I felt like it was a really good reminder for me as well, that being like remembering the Lord's Prayer is not just something we say, but it's a posture that we're taking every day and every moment. And I love that. I was looking through the Lord's Prayer this week and I realized what comes next is give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
And I was kind of wondering from your point of view, why do you think hallowed be thy name comes before that?
Yeah. I have so many thoughts. You warned me about that question. I have so many thoughts. One thing that I was thinking though is like, think about, and I talked about this some in my message too on Sunday about like, we need the Bible in context and like the context of itself. So like thinking like, okay, why did Jesus say, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the next thing is give us this day, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Like all these things that are happening, right? But like, give us this day our daily bread as afterward. And I was thinking back to the people, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament in the wilderness. And there's this whole thing that happens there where like they're wandering around, they don't have food, and God provides this manna from heaven. And there's this huge emphasis throughout all of that journey of Yahweh, of God, really kind of like reinforcing his lordship in their lives. And there's a lot of different ways that happened, but even in that journey of like, they needed food and God provided manna that was fresh and new for them every morning. And then this whole thing happens too, where like after God is providing the manna, they begin to complain about the manna. They begin to complain about the food. Well, other things happen too. They're like, they're trying to keep it back. They're trying to have extra instead of relying on him every day. And so like they're complaining about the manna. And so then all these Israelites start getting bit by these snakes. Like, this is all in the Old Testament. And then there's this whole other thing that I preached about a couple messages ago, where there's this imagery of Jesus in the Old Testament, because these people are being bitten by snakes. And God is like, hey, I am God. I am the provider. You need to have that set rightly in place at the beginning. And if we can reinforce that again, and then if you get this rod and that you make this look like an image of a snake and hold it up to that, anybody who looks at this image of the snake, if they get bitten, they won't die from the poison. And so they do that. The leaders of the nation of Israel, Moses does that. And like the people are healed and like they get this thing reiterated. So like I'm on this crazy Old Testament tangent, I know right now, but that's what I think of when Jesus, he knows all of this. Like he is the beginning and the end. He's there in the moments of creation. He shows up all throughout the Old Testament. So Jesus had all of this in context. So when he's teaching the disciples, pray like this and setting this first in place of hallowed be thy name. It's like, we need to get this lordship thing in place before we ever begin to ask him for anything. So give us this day our daily bread. Like, yes, Lord, we are asking you to provide the things that we need for our everyday life. But we want that fresh and anew every day. We don't just want yesterday's manna that we tried to keep back. We don't want to complain about the things that you are giving us. We want to have this thing all in right relationship to who you are as the Lord of our lives and be humbled. And like I was saying Sunday too, like palms up, surrendered to whatever your plan is, whatever your daily bread is for me today, I'm okay with that. So again, that is another tangent, but I think there's all of that is tied up into that, and other perspectives too could be drawn in. But that's one thing that I think about.
Yeah, that's good. And it kind of goes back to the posture part where we're setting up this posture of surrender and then out of that, asking God to meet our needs and trusting that he will meet our needs.
Right. And I would say like, when he meets our needs in the way that we don't want him to, like being okay with that. Like that's another part of this posturing of like the Lord's Prayer is a position of posture of, it's a position of surrender, and like settling that along the way of praying every part of that is so important.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely reminds me that I'm not the one in control.
Yeah.
It is God, and God is the one leading my story. And I can try to do things out of my own, but it is, I need to surrender to the one who knows and has it all figured out and will provide for me. That's actually what we talked about on Sunday in kids ministry.
That's so good.
Was that the manna? Well, we talked about how God provided for the Israelites in the Exodus.
Yeah.
So it's a similar thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we loved it. Well, I think you've already answered this question.
Sorry. I read your questions beforehand, fine. So I might be tying a couple of them together.
Have you had any recent moments? I know you talked about Yellowstone a little bit, but have you had any recent moments where you felt like you've been in awe of God, but also had this reverent fear of God and the healthy balance between that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had kind of another nature moment because there's different ways to be in awe of God. This spring, I got to travel to Portland in Oregon, and flying into Portland, seeing Mount Hood and off in the distance, Mount Rainier, and then Mount St. Helens with its top blown off. Like you can see all of that as you're landing down into there. And then we went and drove up a ways, and coming off of Mount Hood is Multnomah Falls, just like standing there in the midst of these falls, just reminded again of like, man, God is so big and so powerful. And then even just yesterday, we watched a little bit of an alpha video at our staff summit and reminded again about how massive our universe is. And just in our galaxy, how our sun is like one of like 6 billion just in our galaxy, like is one star out of so, and that's just our galaxy, which is one of trillions. And just like thinking of all of that, like outer space is the pizza buffet moment for me, honestly, with God. Like when I think about that, it just blows my mind. And like that for me is just, I can't even begin to fathom it. And so that's something I've watched a lot of different things about outer space. But beyond any of those things, the birth of my children, which that's happening again soon in our lives, of just like the miracle, like, I mean, it's trauma, it's incredible, it's like crazy, but like holding your child in your arms, skin to skin for the first time, because I really emphasize skin to skin, and I'm not disparaging that, I think it's super important, but like when you're in that moment and just like, it's indescribable. And it's just like, man, God, I don't even understand, God, how is this even possible that this is happening in my life? And this is my child, and I love my children's, and like all of that together is just in the imagery of how he loves us and all those things tied together. So I would say the birth of Judah 7 years ago, Emery 5 years ago, and our daughter coming up here in just a few weeks, like all of that reminds me of just to be in total awe of God and the whole process.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to have your third kid.
I know.
Is it 1.5 weeks?
It's somewhere right around 2 weeks. So somewhere the week of the 24th, where it's going to, some things are going to be, she'll be induced sometime that week from what we know, if the baby doesn't come sooner. My birthday is, today's Tuesday when we're recording this. So my birthday's a week from today. So I would be fine with a birthday buddy. That would be right around 38 weeks, but she'll definitely be induced somewhere around that 39th week, and unless she comes sooner. So, and we're very excited. It's, we just had an appointment this morning. Everything is great. I've just been so thankful, because most people don't know, and I won't tell the whole story here, but we just had a lot of things after Emery was born. Sam went through a really big physical struggle afterwards. A week after Emery was born, I had to drop my wife off at the ER, because this is during the middle of the virus season, and I couldn't even go in the ER with her. Emery had an appointment. There's all these things that happened. And I'm so thankful for the healing that she's had, but there was just a lot of things from that almost 5 years ago now. Well, it's over 5 years ago. It's been of just a lot of things that were really difficult of like, would we ever be in this place to have a third child, which is something that we had dreamed about. And again, just in awe of God to like see how his plan and his timing is so perfect and so right. So like, we're so excited. And also, like, and then there's a lot of you Worcester Naz families already that have more than two kids, and like, we have no idea what to expect, like what a third kid means. And it's been surreal, and we've been, but like, our lives have not stopped, and our kids are already so busy. Our lives are so full, but we're very excited for whatever all of that means.
It's going to be busy, but I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Do you have a name picked out?
We have possibilities. Okay. And it's funny because like with Judah and Emery, we knew that we knew what we were going to name them beforehand, but we have some options and we really feel like we need to see her. I have one that I'm really advocating for, like first and middle, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm excited.
When we see her in just a couple short days. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Going back to your sermon, you talked about becoming too like comfortable or almost casual with God. What do you think that looks like in our everyday lives? Or maybe what are some signs that you might notice in yourself that like lead to this casualness?
Yeah. There's definitely one thing for me that I think about is, and like, this is more from a pastoral perspective, but I'll draw it in too. But like, for me, like the casualness of like, I can fall into these rhythms, especially being in ministry, of just like, well, I'm reading my Bible, but like, well, I'm just reading my Bible because I'm preaching next Sunday, or I'm just prepping for that next alpha lesson, or I'm speaking at CR or whatever it is. And I can get into that rhythm of just like, well, like right now I'm just loving Jesus because it's my job. And I never want to fall into that. I've talked about this at Alpha a few different times around my table. And so like just that, the casualness of just like not making it a priority, like when it's not number one thing I'm doing in the morning, then it's not a priority in my life. And I know people do devotions at different times of the day, and that works for different people in different ways. But like, I can pray first thing in the morning, no matter what. I can look at my Bible app and I can see the verse of the day, which is something that I've done now. I could pull up my phone, but I'm getting close to a 365 day streak on the Bible app.
Good for you.
It's like a major accomplishment with these kids and life and everything. But like doing that first thing in the morning, and I'm not saying this to puff myself up at all, but like that's been like a point of spiritual discipline for me, of like setting God in his proper place at the beginning of my day has been really big. Because if I don't, then I can just get in the, and I would say casualness, it's not just, it's not something that always happens intentionally. It's just in the busyness of life and the normality of your days, like it can just get into the rhythm and forget that he is the priority. So I think that it's not so much like, yeah, I just decided to be flippant with the Lord. It just happens over time. And then you can kind of wake up and you're like, man, I've just been in this wilderness season and I'm feeling disconnected from Jesus. And you're like, but what have I done to initiate the conversation? What have I done to go palms up and ask him to search my heart? What have I done to spend time in the word, like I was reemphasizing on Sunday? So holding all those things together in balance is really important. But having the priority, like I think first thing in the morning, setting the priority is so important. I will also clarify about my YouVersion Bible app. There's been at least 4 months where I have used my one day save, because it'll let you save your streak once a month on the Bible app. And that just happened again last week. Hey, I don't remember why.
There's grace for that.
And I thank the Lord for his grace. But I just want to clarify, I have used that at least 4 times, but my streak is still live. And hey, it's somewhere right around like 280 days right now.
I'm definitely like a physical Bible girl. Like, I prefer that. And so I used to have a streak on the Bible app, and then I don't know. I prefer my physical. Yeah. But I feel like for me, like, I can tell that I am becoming too casual per se if I'm realizing that I'm not like asking the Lord to help me with things, and I feel like I can do it myself, and I catch myself and I'm like, why am I doing this when I know that the Lord is going to help me and I need to pray to him for that.
Yeah.
When I'm not like surrendering everything I'm doing, I feel like it feels casual for me.
Yeah. And I think another part of that, not asking, but also not thanking the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. we can have prayer requests for days and days, and then the Lord is so faithful. Yeah, it's maybe not the way we always prayed for it, but I can miss coming back to and thanking the Lord for the things, and even trying to practice that with my kids. Like, whenever we're asking the Lord to help, you know, Judah with leg pains from, he's growing, like, he's so tall. Like, he's had growing pains for 3 years at this point, every day it seems like. But like, even thanking the Lord, like, thank you, Lord, for helping Judah's leg feel better. Like prioritizing the thanking part of that, I think, is really important too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I even noticed this summer, being with Pastor Cindy, we go on the summer fun days. Yeah. And after every summer fun day, she would stop the kids before we got off the bus and would say, we're going to pray to God and thank him for getting us home safe and for all of our adventures. And I didn't think of that, but it's just a little thing. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Oyos that we get to have.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord, for bringing us home safe and the fun days that we got to have. So even just the little things.
Yeah. And even like something me and Sam do when we go out to eat. And I would say it's most of the time uncomfortable because people look at you weird, but we will still grab each other's hand across the table and we'll pray for our food. And we do it with the kids and we get some weird looks, but like, that's a priority for us and we're not going to back down mm-hmm. from that. So like, that's another way to set things in the right place that they're supposed to be.
It's always awkward for me when I'm praying at the restaurant and the waiter comes as soon as you're praying for the meal.
They're just like awkwardly just like holding your refill. Do you want more bread? Yes, we're praying to the bread of life right now. Please.
I'm sure they're used to it though. Like, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I love those moments.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about making God into a mascot instead of a master.
Yeah.
And what does that look like as well? Kind of the similar theme here.
Yeah. When I think about that, I think about this, the difference between religion and relationship. And mm-hmm. pastors alluded to this in a message somewhere along the last few months of just like identifying as a Christian or identifying as a child of God. Like, those can be two very different things. Cause like, even in our United States context, like, there's so many, like, even like different voting blocks that we called, like, this is the Christian voting block because these people identify. And it's just like, but that's not what we're talking about. Like, this is about, remind me of your question real quick. I don't want to get too far off track.
I mean, what do you think it means to make God into a mascot?
Yeah, not a mascot. Thank you. Of just like whenever it's just like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I just ask God for all these things all the time. And it's almost like the genie in the lamp of like, you know, the story of Aladdin. Like, whenever I need these things, I'm just going to God, or like, yay, Jesus. And Jesus is just my best friend. And Jesus is my homeboy. Like, I've seen t-shirts like that, like those types of things. Instead of just like, no, like, he's the master of all, like, he mm-hmm. is the creator of the universe, of like, in all of that part of who, and like, we just lose sight of that. And so I think it's really dangerous when we have the mascot mentality, especially in our day-to-day walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because I think that can lead to flippancy more than anything. Of just like, he's just this thing that happens, and I rub the shiny coin and everything is good. Or when I don't, then I can blame the mascot because everything went bad and it's gotta be his fault. Like, there's two sides of that same coin, instead of this walk of surrender of realizing and recognizing God as the master of all mm-hmm. things. And so it's just prioritizing, again, it's priorities. But I think even in our culture, Jesus and things of the church and all of that can turn into this like mascot mentality. That's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I even see that today with my generation. Just a lot of people that, I mean, claim Jesus, but it's not, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's a full surrender. And that's hard to see, but also hard to handle, because you love Jesus, but there's a difference between Jesus being your mascot and your master. If he's right. your master, he's going to be very higher than your own self. But if he's mascot, I feel like that's almost casual, right. too casual.
Right. And I would say that I've seen several like Jesus influencers.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Right? Like your generation, like thinking people from your generation, but millennials too in my generation, of like whenever you see that and they're influencing people to like for them to get more followers, or, and it's all about them, that's the mascot mentality mm-hmm. of like, follow me. And yes, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, but it can be turned into something very different, which is like, follow me and all my stuff, instead of, no, let's follow Jesus together. Like mm-hmm. that's the master mentality.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome. That's something I feel like I'm going to carry into just my walk with Christ, that he's not my mascot. He is above me. He's my master. And I'm going to follow him and do whatever I need to do to love him and to yeah. love others well.
And some of this pulls into, I'm going to pull up Mark's question because I know he wanted us to talk about this, of like, I was trying to relate all of that together. Like all of these things are true at the same time. Like God is great and he is good and he is love and he is omnipotent and he is more, right? And he's so good to us and he wants us to live lives of holiness, but we need to keep him in his proper place. And that's why I was giving the example of like me and Eric on that trip to Yellowstone and the Grand Prismatic Spring. Like I took that picture I showed. I'm like 3 feet away from death. Like I'm standing there and I have the proper amount of fear in my heart and my life to know I should not go in that water. And it's that same type of mentality in relation to the Creator God, this omnipotent, omniscient, all powerful God, all of the things I listed off and so much more on Sunday, of like having that same amount of fear. Not that fear is always just bad. We equate fear to like a bad thing all the time, but it's like this fear and wonder and all wrapped up into one of like, okay, this is how I relate to this Creator God. Like he is in his right place. I fear having the fear of the Lord, and that then being empowering me to live a life that is full of his blessing. And like, as I honor him every day, like I see like that his ways are better than my ways, and anything he has for me is so much better than I could have done for myself. And then seeing all that lived out through his lordship, that lordship lens, and not the lint trap mentality that I talked about too, which was such a random line that came to me on Saturday morning. But like keeping all of that in the right perspective, like, yes, he is good. And Jesus is our friend and he is our savior. He is our Lord. He is our healer and our hope. And he is like, Moses couldn't look at God. He had to see God in the burning bush. God said, anybody that looks at me will die. Like mm-hmm. there's this holy reverence and fear, the Grand Prismatic Spring. You don't jump in. You can't just have that casualness with God. So holding all that together in context, in our daily lives, at the beginning, really this beginning section of the Lord's Prayer of hallowed be thy name, it then informs every other part of this. For mm-hmm. example, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation. All those other things are coming through that lens of his lordship.
That'll preach.
We should preach a message about
that. Yeah, that will preach. I love that you just took like so many stories from the Old Testament and brought them together to have this just beautiful narrative of what it looks like to live in palms up surrender. Yeah. And that for me, like, I just loved that. I was brought to tears at your sermon, honestly, at the ending. I was crying and I was in kids' church that day. So I was at home and it was tears. And it's just this method of surrender that we need to be constantly surrendering to God and saying, hallowed be thy name. And you are our master. And I've loved that. I've loved the sermon series that we're doing yeah. right now. I wanted to ask you, what's one insight about the Lord's Prayer that's completely changed the way that you see it from this sermon series and from doing your sermon on this?
Yeah. In reading this book, Bringing Heaven Here, they talk about in the beginning about how when for them, the Lord's Prayer became more than just a prayer you prayed at certain times, when they started praying it every day, that it became transformative in their life. And so that's something I'm walking more and more into of, and Pastor Sheldon talked about this yesterday at Staff Summit too, of praying the Lord's Prayer slowly, almost meditatively, of just like, this is a daily practice, this daily examine. He was talking in the context of some Lectio Divina stuff yesterday, but that's a whole nother conversation.
I love Lectio Divina.
Yeah, like there's a whole nother thing there. That's a different podcast, right? But that daily walk, I think, is one of the most transformative things that I'm rediscovering of. This isn't just something that we pray together at a funeral or when we do an emphasis of a series at church. Like, this can inform my entire life. If I will just stop and pray the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he was giving that same word to us for today in 2026. So that's something I would identify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I love that. I remember being taught in college a similar thing, but that we would do the Lord's Prayer and every line, we would say something that was applicable to our lives. For me, like if I were to do Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, I'd say, okay, Lord, give me the energy to do this thing today, or help me to have a good workout today.
Yeah.
And each line making it personal to what I needed that day or what I was like surrendering to God that day. And yeah, living out that prayer is so important.
So good.
Well, I think that's all the time we have today. That's
great. Thank you for hosting.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. And thank you, Pastor Andrew, Absolutely. For being on.
That was great. We'll see you real soon.
Yes. Bye.